Not for the first time, I was astonished by Magister Sark's ability to be intelligent and wise while spouting prehistoric nonsense. "For your own part, anyway," I pointed out, "it seems you chose in a way that reflects well on you and your world."
"The innocent moved me," he insisted. "Give all credit to her."
"I give you my personal thanks," I said, "and ask you to relay it to the innocent the next time you hear from her." He shook his head in exasperation, then finally chuckled, though such a grim fellow was he that his chuckle was something between a gag and a cough.
"You don't understand at all."
"Fair enough," I said. "I am in no shape for dialogue right now, but perhaps some other time I can try to explain to you how I see all of these matters." His reaction was noncommittal, but he understood that the conversation was over. He wandered away. I collected some blank paper from Yule's fetch and began to scribble out notes to my friends at the Convox. Magister Sark got into a long conversation with Yule and Cord, interrupted from time to time by Ganeliel Craid, who of course belonged to a completely different faith, and who paced back and forth at a distance, fuming, then darted in from time to time to dispute some fine point of deology. A mob swung through, dropped off the driver who would take the Veilers south, and picked up Magister Sark. The Veilers began to find seats aboard the coach. Fra Osa was the last to board. I handed him a stack of notes.
"For my friends at Tredegar," I explained, "if you would not mind bearing them."
He bowed.
"You've already done me plenty of favors, so it is okay to say no," I went on.
"You did us a favor," he countered, "by creating an emergence nested within the larger emergence and giving us an opportunity to train."
I said nothing. I was wondering what he meant by the larger emergence and reckoned he must be talking about the cousins. He was sifting through the letters I had given him.
"You have many friends at the Convox," he remarked,
and looked up at me quizzically. This was probably an indirect way of asking, "What the heck are you doing?" But I ignored it.
"The thick one there is for a girl named Ayla. The others are for some other fras and sirs of mine."
"Ah," exclaimed Fra Osa, holding one up. "You know the famous Jesri."
I didn't even want to think about what was implied by Jesri's being famous, so I glided past it and directed his attention to the last letter in the stack.
"Leo,"
I said.
"Fra Leo is a student of Vale lore."
"Oh,"
he exclaimed, as if Leo were unique, as if the world, for thousands of years at any given moment, had not contained millions of lore students.
"Mostly self-taught, but it is important to him. If this letter were handed to him by even the most junior member of the Ringing Veil Math, it would be the greatest honor of his life. Don't tell him I said that."
Fra Osa bowed again.
"I shall comply with all of your instructions."
He put his foot on the coach's running board.
"Here I say farewell, unless..."
And he looked between me and the coach.
I fell for it hard. I imagined the long ride on the coach full of authentic Ringing Veil of Out, maybe a night or two in a room at a casino down south, a journey, safe and well organized, to Tredegar. Reunion with my friends there. If these people could somehow get their hands on a plane, it could even happen in a day. I imagined all of that long and hard enough to savor it, to look forward to it. But I knew it was all a daydream, that I had to pull back, that the longer I kept on this way, the harder it was going to be. "I want to climb on board that thing and go to Tredegar with you like that water wants to find the ocean,"
I said, gesturing to the river.
"But to quit in the middle, just because I'm beat up and homesick and scared, seems wrong. Fra Jad, he's the millenarian who sent me, would never understand."
This was the first thing that had happened all day that startled Fra Osa.
"A thousander,"
he repeated.
"Yes."
"Then you had best finish the task.
That's kind of what I'm thinking.
He bowed one more time, more deeply than before. Then he turned his back on me and climbed into the coach. The cops followed them out. I went to the latrine and peed blood and boarded Yule's Fetch. Saman was in there, too. We pulled onto the main road and turned south. I slept.